We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
All right, so good to see you here today. Praise the Lord for a great, great day. Wasn't that music a blessing today? Wow, that just ministered to my heart. I believe it did to yours as well. And I'm so grateful for those people who work so hard to make that happen. You know, those of us who can't sing well, you know, everybody can sing, but well is the deal. You know, you stand back sometimes and you think, my, what a blessing. How did that all come together? But a lot of work, a lot of preparation. So, choir, we appreciate that so much. And well, I don't know if Betsy's in here. Is she in here? Yeah, she's probably exhausted out in the lobby there. Boy, she did a great job. And the choir, Pastor Jad, thank you for that. It was a blessing. Appreciate that. I even saw Pastor Denver up there in the choir. Wow, I've known him for a long time. Never seen that happen before. I'm not sure should ever happen again, but nonetheless, it was good to see him for sure today. It's a delight to be here. Absolutely, such a joy to be back at Faith Baptist Church and to be part of this special day. Your pastor serving here for 10 years. That's an accomplishment, and we're going to think about that, absolutely. I saw him last night. We met for dinner in the evening, and boy, he looks so trim, and everything. He must be running. I don't know what he's doing. Are you feeding him? But I thought, wow, I was that size in third grade, and here he is. So I'm telling you, it was neat to be around them and spend some time for sure. Well, I want you to take your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes today. Ecclesiastes, you say, where is that? If you find the Psalms, then you go to Proverbs. The next one's Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you would, today. And I am not going to preach long today, and I know you've heard that before, but I tell the truth. Someone said a good sermon need not be bad, and a bad sermon should not be bad. Or long, rather, so hopefully it won't be. I heard a little boy was in church on a Tuesday night, or excuse me, on a Sunday night, and boy, this preacher was just preaching and preaching and preaching, and he looked up to his mother and says, what comes after this guy? She said, Tuesday. Yeah. So hopefully that won't be the case today. Preacher said to this lady, he said, did you hear my last sermon? She said, I sure hope so. So hopefully that won't be your attitude today when we're done. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, I'm not actually going to preach what I would typically call a sermon, certainly a Sunday morning kind of sermon, but because of the specialness of this day, I just want to speak to your heart today and challenge you to think with me on some things that I hope will be a blessing to you today on this special day. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you'd find that, I'm going to read one verse, verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Recently, I've been rereading the book of Ecclesiastes. And, of course, this book was written by Solomon, the son of King David. And in many ways, the book is somewhat deep and philosophical. But on the other hand, I think it is simply the diary of a man who was on life's journey. And he was searching for some purpose and some meaning and trying to put all the dots together in his mind about life. And I think sometimes we find ourselves on that similar journey. He was there. But as Solomon pondered the sovereign design of God, he concluded. And he concluded that all of the events of life are divinely appointed. And you know, as I think about that, we are here today on purpose, amen? This special day happened on purpose today. Your pastor is your pastor on purpose. And God, in his way, remarkably works in ways that sometimes we don't even understand. In fact, the scripture teaches his ways are not our ways. You know, it's a challenge when we try to figure God out. Well, you can't figure God out. He's God, and you just let God be God, and then wonderful things begin to happen in life when that takes place. But as I journeyed through this book, Chapter 3 seemed to stick out to me in a more significant way than even the other chapters, and we'll look at a few other verses from this book as well. But chapter 3 captured my attention, and a little phrase actually captured my attention in chapter 3, and it's in verse 1. I want to read that again. It says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heavens." There's a three-word phrase that I want you to think about with me today, and that is simply this: a time to. Then you kind of fill in the blank. A time to. When I think about that little phrase, I think, you know, we utilize that phrase or something very similar to that regularly in life. It's a time to work. It's a time to play. It's a time to eat. It's a time to study. It's a time to pray. It's a time to attend church. It's a time to talk. It's a time. It's a time to do these things. Now, in the next seven verses, we find that phrase used some 30 times in this chapter. Notice verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. We come to the last of those seven verses, verse 8, and it ends with a time of war and a time of peace. I think it's summarized really in verse 11, where the scripture says, "He," speaking of God, "He hath made everything beautiful in His time." Time. The concept of time is fascinating to me. When you think about it, time. We're not all equal in intelligence, and we're not all equal in ability, and we're not all equal in personality. We're not all equal in wealth, but we're all equal in time. 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 David, Solomon's father, said this in Psalm 31 and verse 15. He said, "My times are in thy hands." Whatever time we have comes to us by way of God. Our time is in His hands. Our time is in His hands. How true is that statement? As I read this chapter and pondered that three-word expression, three-word phrase, a time to, I realized what a unique time this is in the story of this great church. This is a time like no other time. This being your pastor's 10th anniversary service, at this time, we understand not only is our time in God's hands, but the church is in God's hands. I want to focus again on that expression, and I want to make three applications to that simple expression today. A time to. On this anniversary Sunday, I submit to you, first of all, today is a time to celebrate. Amen? It's a time to celebrate. A time to celebrate. You know, we as Christians need to learn to celebrate because there are victories along the journey in life. And we need to celebrate those victories at the hand of our God, because our times are in His hands. 10 years ago, Faith Baptist Church issued a call to a young 35-year-old man to serve as pastor. No one who cast a vote on that day could have ever envisioned or imagined Faith Baptist Church as we see it and experience it today. It's really beyond our comprehension what God has done. I wonder just for a moment how many of you were in that service when that vote was taken 10 years ago. Just lift those hands up. A very few scattering of people here. Thank you. To say that God has blessed this church is beyond an understatement. It's beyond that. I recall receiving a call from your pastor. Of course, our friendship goes back for many, many years, over 22 years, when he served in England alongside of his father as a pastor there in England. And I visited that church, I don't know, 6-7 times, I would guess, through the years. And we established a bond back in those days. But a few months after he arrived here, and you all called him as pastor, he invited me to come and preach, which was the first Bible conference that you had as pastor. And I remember going to that building, I guess it's down here now if I get it right, and that little white building and thinking to myself when I walked in, good Lord, what has he done? I don't know about all of this. And I guess there was a group that night. We started on a Wednesday, which was a little different because they had never heard me preach and I'd never been at the church. And normally you start on a Sunday to kind of build a crowd, hopefully. But we started on a Wednesday, and I don't know, maybe there were 40, 50 people, maybe a few more than that there that night. But it was certainly interesting to see what God has done, even in that service, even in those early services, how God worked. He would gather the leaders together on a Saturday, and I would speak to the leaders. We did that many, many times through these years. And I guess that first leadership meeting, I think maybe there were a dozen folks that gathered. Brother George, you were part of that. I mean, you know, everybody who thought they were a leader, wanted to be a leader, could spell leadership, he got into the room. And we just, you know, would talk about leadership. What does it take to be a leader in this church? And, you know, we were trying to cast the vision and just try to help, you know, get the church from where it was to where God wanted it to be. And I can say that as a non-member of your church, I've been blessed to watch the story unfold year by year. Just been a blessing to see it take place. In these past 10 years, I have preached and ministered here on 15 different occasions. Now, I've preached more messages than that. Like today will be four messages on one occasion. So I've preached many, many times, but 15 different occasions. In fact, I've preached here in this church every year since your pastor has become pastor, except for last year, and I'm still wanting to know why I wasn't invited last year. But we're going to change that. We're going to work on that date right away. But it's always a delight to come. And each and every visit, each and every time I came, it just revealed to me something new, something fresh, something exciting to celebrate, to rejoice in. It was always some victories. There were always something that just kind of motivated us and excited us. The growth, to see the growth take place from that one service then to two over there, and then to three over there. And then we came here, we went back to two, and now we're back to three again. Oh, my gracious. Think about that. The growth, that's exciting, isn't it? Now, you love little babies when they weigh 6 pounds and they come home from the hospital, but if 10 years later they weigh 6 pounds, we got a problem. You want to see the baby grow. God wants to see the church grow. And so you celebrate that. The facilities and you know, even that building down there was fixed up and repaired, and God did some great things in there. It was a tremendous spirit. And then, of course, this facility and the staff that has been added through these years. When I first met Pastor Micah, he wasn't even on staff. He was just in the church, and I think he was trying to figure out, you know, what's this guy all about over here, and vice versa. And then, of course, Pastor Denver and Pastor Chad, I mean, those were students of mine in Trinity when they went to school there. And so to watch God kind of put all that together, not just the pastoral staff, but the entire staff, you rejoice in that, the ministries of the church. Best of all, I think the conversions, people who met Jesus Christ in this place. I mean, their life was radically changed because they placed their faith in the Son of God. They had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And wow, how do you not celebrate that? How do you not rejoice in that when God does something exciting, and the music and just the spirit and the miracles, and you know, and an honest person seeking to understand just what has occurred here these past 10 years, the answer is quite simple. God has been at work. There's no other explanation for it. Now, there are other contributing factors. I get that. I'll mention some of those, but the reality is it's the work of God. And when God shows up and God begins to bless and God begins to do something, you know, the best thing is just kind of get out of the way and let God do it. Just let God pour his power out on a place because he wants to do that. Yes, you have an exceptional pastor. Yes, you have a dedicated staff. Yes, you have an excellent facility. Yes, you have an engaged congregation. Yes, you have a biblical mission. But beyond all of that, you have a great God. Amen. Celebrate that. Celebrate that. You know, when the Lord is lifted up, and by the way, he has been today, amen? He certainly has been. When God is lifted up, as he's been exalted today, the Bible tells us that he shows himself strong in a miraculous way. He just does. He just shows himself strong. And you can't, again, you can't measure that. You can't put it under a microscope. You can't tested. It just God shows up and he's God. And what a phenomenal thing that is. You know, the Bible declares in an Old Testament passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it's one of my favorite verses. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." Now think about that. Here's God, and he's looking, searching, to and fro throughout the whole earth. For what? Why is he doing that? Well, the verse continues, "to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." In other words, God is looking for a place that he can just miraculously, supernaturally show himself strong, where he can do there something that is so unique and so wonderful and so godlike and so special. But he's looking for a people, a leader, a congregation whose heart collectively is lifted up to him. And when he finds that, when he finds that pastor, when he finds that church, when he finds those people, God just invades in a wonderful way. He shows himself strong. Don't you believe today that our God is a strong God? Oh my goodness. He's a strong God. And so he wants to do that. And in fact, in these 10 years, I believe that he has done that. In view of God and his blessings upon Faith Baptist Church these 10 years, today is a day to celebrate. It's a time to celebrate. It's a time to stand back. And if I could sing, I would sing, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done." How great is our God? Celebrate him. Celebrate him on this wonderful day. But today is not only a time to celebrate. Secondly, I'm convinced it is a time to anticipate. It's a time to anticipate. Think about that. Anticipate. You know, on this 10th anniversary Sunday, I think it's already been mentioned, there's some things happening the pastor didn't know anything about until today. And there's some things tonight that he doesn't know anything about yet. So he's anticipating. He's anticipating. And I hope we're all anticipating. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. But when I think about this Sunday, let me share some news with you. Let me reveal this. God is not finished with this church. Amen. You got to anticipate the blessings of the Lord in the future. You say, well, what about all the blessings and all the miracles of the previous years? Thank God for that. We celebrate that. We lift that up. We exalt him. But he's not finished with Faith Baptist Church today. There's more to do. There's more to accomplish. Don't you know there are lost people that need Jesus? Don't you know there are families that are literally crumbling that somehow need hope and help and ministry and stability? There's young people that need to grow up knowing that the Bible is true and God is alive and well. Oh my goodness, we need to anticipate all that God can do and wants to do and I believe will do in the future of this church. It's a time to anticipate that. I mentioned earlier about those faithful folks who gathered there in that building down the road and voted for this young guy to come as pastor and what has transpired since that vote that and his acceptance of that, how that all came to pass. You know what? We're sitting here today. I think we can have that same spirit of anticipation about the future. I know your pastor well enough to know that there's a lot of things brewing up there that he wants to do, that he believes God wants to do. And you know what? We don't want to throw cold water on that. We don't want to smother that vision. We don't want to stand back and say, well, we've arrived, we're here, we're good. I say, no, let's anticipate. I believe God's not finished. I believe that for several reasons. One, because your message is the same. The message of this church is not going to change because he's been here for 10 years. You say, what's the message? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The message is he wants to establish a relationship with us, and he can do that through his son, Jesus. That's the message, not just 10 years, but the church has been in existence, I think, 47 years. That message has been heralded out from the very beginning of this church. Jesus saves. God is alive and well. He can heal the brokenhearted. He can redeem that lost soul. He can patch up that family. He can lift those burdens. That's the message. And it's going to continue to go forth, not just for 10 years, but as long as a pastor is focused on the Word of God and God Himself. So your message is the same, but I say this, your God is the same. Your God's the same. Scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God's not going to sit back and say, wow, we've had 10 great years, I'm going to take a break. You know, preacher, take a break, I'm going to take a break. No. I would suggest that what we see today and experience today is really the foundation of what God wants to continue to do. Not, we haven't arrived. We're just, you know, we're just in the car going. We're just going. It's starting. So the message is the same. God's the same. And your leader's the same. Your pastor's the same. He's gonna keep preaching. Keep casting vision. Keep leading. You know, the average tenure of a pastor today, a senior pastor, is somewhere around 5 or 6 years. Meaning that a pastor shows up and stays 5 or 6 years and boom, they're gone. For whatever reason. The average tenure for an associate pastor of whatever, youth pastor, music pastor, assistant pastor, whatever, is somewhere around 2 to 3 years. Boy, you have a marvelous pastor and a group of pastors that are committed to make this thing go. To provide good godly leadership. Thank the Lord for that. You know, I was reading, as I said, this book of Ecclesiastes. I came to chapter 2, and I'd like you to look there with me. And I saw these words, and I thought, how appropriate for this occasion. Ecclesiastes 2, and verse 26, it says, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight three things, wisdom, knowledge, and joy." God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. I believe on this 10th anniversary that I can stand before you today and say that I believe your pastor is a man of wisdom. He's made some great decisions here. He's led you to make good decisions here. He's a man of knowledge. He knows this book. He knows God. But I love the fact that he's a man of joy. I love the fact that he's not grumpy. And you ever been around people like that? Listen, I've preached in, I don't know, 600 Baptist churches, and some of them I wouldn't want to be sentenced to. I mean, it's like they don't even know how to smile. The pastor has a Bible under one arm and a tombstone under the other. Get saved and be as miserable as I am. I mean, who wants that? Who wants that kind of a preacher who's grumpy and, my gracious. You know, when you get saved, there's a joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It keeps you moving, it keeps you chugging, it keeps you going down the road, it keeps you singing, put a song in your heart. I've been in full-time ministry for over 43 years. I know preachers pretty well. I meet them all the time. And I'm going to say what I think you already know, and that is this: your pastor is exceptional. Amen. He's exceptional. He really is. He's not ordinary, he's extraordinary. He's exceptional. Better yet, his wife is. Yes. I mean, let's give her a hand. Would you stand for just a moment? Come on, let's do that. Yes. I know pastors. I know pastors' wives. I'm married to one, by the way. And my two daughters are pastors' wives. And I see how she works him. I know how. She steers him gently. The right way. He'll tell you that. For sure. A pastor's wife is at least 50% of the team. Yeah. Now, you know, he gets the acknowledgement most of the time, any pastor. But the wife is behind the scenes, making a lot of it all work. Sacrificing time, schedule, for the good of her husband and the Lord's work. More than you can imagine. sometimes I go and I end up going to a church. I've never met the pastor, a young guy. And I spend whatever time with him, and I come home, and my wife says, well, what do you think? And I say, well, it'd be a blessing if his wife could be the pastor. I mean, she, you know, she seems to have the energy and the focus, and she seems to have it all put together. You have not only a wonderful pastor, you have a wonderful pastor's wife. And that is a great gift to the church. But I love your pastor. I really do. And through these years, 22 plus years, I appreciate his intellect. I marvel at his energy. I admire his heart. I value his wisdom. I applaud the vision God has given to him. I respect his judgment. I recognize his character. I love his family. And I really, really, really agree with his mission to preach the word and reach people for Jesus Christ. People say, why would he come to Newport Richey? Well, he came to Newport Richey for the same reason that Jesus left heaven and came to this earth, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's been the mission. It's not been to build buildings, although you have, you know, buildings are wonderful to accomplish the mission. But the mission is reaching people. The mission is seeing folks come to Christ. And that's what he's been focused on. The decisions to enlarge and grow and have two services and then three services, all of that is just, let's reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Although he is an incredible leader, this may sound strange, but today really is not about him. Today is all about his God. Because what he has been able to accomplish is because of God's touch on his life, God's blessing, God's power. So what I'm saying is this, what God has done for these years, God can continue to do, and he wants to. And the tone of the church, the heartbeat of the church should be one of expectation. Like, what will God do next? What will he do next? I live that way with my wife. What will she do next? Some of you ladies know her. She's been here many times in the past. What will she do next? That's how we ought to be about God. What will he do next? What will be the next thing God does? The next person God saves? The next lesson we learn? Anticipation. Don't look at this day as if the best is over. No. 1,000 times no. Anticipate the future, the blessings of God. I believe the best is yet to be for Faith Baptist Church. So I believe it's a time to celebrate. I believe it's a time to anticipate. But quickly in closing, I believe today is a time to rededicate. To rededicate. You know, reading through Ecclesiastes, I came to chapter 9, and I want you to just flip over and see this. Chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Rededicate. Jump in with all that you have. You see, for the past 10 years, God has not only used your pastor to do the work of the ministry. Through these 10 years, he has used literally scores, maybe hundreds of willing, godly, dedicated, faithful servants to labor along. He's used these good people. And I say to all of you, keep going. Don't quit. Be faithful. Be prayerful. Stay engaged. Continue on. Dedicate and rededicate yourselves to the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. Don't just be a spectator, be a participant. Don't watch it happen. By the grace of God, help make it happen under him. See, if you're not a member, my challenge to you is jump on board. My challenge to you is be part of an exciting church and an exciting ministry. You're not going to find any place like this place, near this place, so this must be the place. I mean, don't stand back and say, well, I'm going to fast and pray about joining. No, I'm giving you a word from God. Join the church. This is phenomenal. if you're currently a member, but you're just disengaged for some reason, maybe you got weary in well-doing. Maybe somebody offended you. I don't know. You know what I'm going to say to you? Just re-enlist. Just get back on board. Keep going. Someone said the church is full of willing people. Half are willing to work, the other half are willing to let them. Someone said the church is like a football game. In a football game, you got 22 men on the field desperately needing a rest, 50,000 in the stands desperately needing a workout. You know, get down there with the 22. Here's the point. If you don't do it, who will? You know, we can talk about all the great Christians that have come through this church and have gone on to be with the Lord and all the great leaders in the past. And you saw the photos of some of those men like Spurgeon and Moody and some of these wonderful preachers and teachers, godly men and women of history. But guess what? This is not their day. This is our day. This is our time. And in order for Faith Baptist Church to continue, for God to show himself strong, it takes the commitment of the Lord's people. Not just the pastor's commitment, not just the staff's commitment, not just the deacon's commitment, not just a few leaders' commitment. It takes commitment of the Lord's people. Re-enlist. And so in closing, I say, my prayer is that every pastor in this church, starting with your senior pastor, every staff member, every deacon, every servant, and every member, would rededicate their life to serve Jesus Christ and reach lost people with the gospel. If that dedication or rededication were to occur, there's absolutely no question that God would show himself strong in the years to come. And I think, and I hope, and I pray, we all want that. Because when I show back up here next year, I want to see some new things happening. I want to see God's touch on this ministry in a fresh way in the future. I hope you do too.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.